Ken Merrill with the National Association of Black and White Men Together. Now, the podcast today is on what I humbly suggest is how to handle living with COVID-19. We are up against a ball of genetic material. That's the COVID-19. We are not winning because we are thinking short term, moving into only one direction and not seeing the entire picture. We may not have an injection or a pill in the coming months. Instead, we need preventative measures that can accumulate into very effective interventions. Drugs such as dexamethasone and remdesivir, which seem to help certain patients in specific solutions, are okay. But we need distancing and masking. A vaccine will not instantly eliminate the need for everything else. If we can accept that masks will be part of our lives indefinitely, we can focus on improving their effectiveness and making them less annoying to work and to wear. Americans' so-called reopening process is going to be a jagged roller coaster towards some new way of life. In July, my state, California, ordered businesses and churches in some counties to again halt indoor activities after the state saw a rise in positive tests and admissions to intensive care units. Everyone will be better prepared if we plan for schools to close and for cities and businesses to shut back down, even when we really hope they won't have to. Every place that's reopening should assume that it might have to navigate further closures. This spring, where everything shut down in a week, was utter chaos. I'm afraid that scenario will play out again. We have the opportunity to avoid that. We need to live like we are contagious. Even with the virus, plan to spend the winter living as though you're constantly contagious. The virus liquid particles we spew can be generated simply by breathing, but more by speaking, shouting, singing, coughing, and sneezing. Every effort of minimizing unnecessary contributions of virus to the air around us and around others helps. Also, it's not just the distance from one person to another that determines transmission. It is also the duration. A shorter interaction is safer than a longer one. Any respiratory virus is more likely to cause disease if you inhale higher doses of it. If you do find yourself in a high-risk scenario, at least don't linger. Socialize and exercise outdoors when possible. During the holidays, don't plan gatherings in places where you can't be outdoors and widely spaced. This is an overdue opportunity to create an upgrade to permanently pandemic-resistant cities, businesses, schools, and homes. We need to build the infrastructure to keep workers safe, especially those deemed essential. Businesses can minimize spread by making ventilation upgrades permanent. And keeping people safe makes economic sense as well. Building for pandemics also extends beyond physical infrastructure. It goes to childcare for workers, public transit, safe housing and quarantine spaces, and supply chains for everything from masks to air filters to pipette tips. Developing fast and reliable ways to detect the coronavirus will be more crucial during the winter. Symptoms of the flu and other respiratory diseases can be effectively indistinguishable from earlier mild symptoms of COVID-19. But returns to normalcy in the coming year will depend on advancements in testing for the coronavirus itself. As of now, the so-called PCR tests, the most widely used form of the testing, are not sufficient for efficient massive-scale screening. Interestingly, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued an emergency use authorization for the first COVID-19 diagnostic test for self-testing at home, and that provides rapid results. The test kit isn't molecular, real-time loop-mediated amplification reaction, which concentrates doses of the virus, and the single-use test that is intended to detect the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19 can be detected. Results would be ideally coordinated nationally with real-time tracking to inform precise and minimal shutdowns. There will be no fireworks or parades when we succeed, only a slow march onward. Whether technological advances can help us chip away at the spread and severity of this disease will depend on how we use, distribute, and understand them. Throughout the pandemic, America's most significant barrier to this progress has been the current organization. Since February, they have depicted the response to the virus as a success by minimizing the threat. They have exaggerated and lied about treatment options, about the availability of tests, and about the importance of preventative measures such as masks. If we insist that normalcy is on the horizon, it trades long-term safety for short-term solace. In this administration, the agencies that typically ensure the accuracy and proper usage of medical products like tests and vaccine, that's the FDA and the CDC, have been weakened and politicized. In August, the White House urged a rewrite of CDC guidelines to discourage testing asymptomatic people who have a high risk exposure to people with COVID-19. This week, the New York Times reported that this happened over the objections of CDC scientists. In the coming months, quote, direct-to-consumer, quote, sales of COVID-19 tests are expected to further clutter the information landscape. It will be up to the FDA to ensure that they work. Tests and vaccines will be worthless if the public can't or simply doesn't trust them. The lack of scientific basis for a shared reality and a willingness to accept that reality continues to be America's greatest weakness in this pandemic. This is all the more reason to prepare ourselves for the months ahead. What can you do? Well, you can build emotional reserves where you can. Make concrete plans for how to isolate and quarantine to maintain access to credible information and to get medical care quickly. Consider simple ways to help your community. Offer to help friends and family, care for children. Ask yourself what you can do right now for the people who will be burdened most by new waves of illness. Do you have a neighbor who wouldn't be able to get out at all? Do you have an elderly relative who will be totally alone? But many of the emotions and psychological bruises we are dealing with right now are actually similar to what, for example, astronauts experience in space. Learning to accept and be comfortable with unpredictability is something that is built into astronaut training. What you can control now is how you react to that situation. What you can control is whether or not you let yourself go down a bad mental path or not. Learn how to stay connected to loved ones when we can't be physically present. You have to be creative in how you stay relevant in the lives of your loved ones. Staying relevant means you just don't communicate occasionally by email. You do things that almost feel like you're close. Well, that's it from me and the NABWMT. And if you want to stay close, at least online, we have Zoom meetings that are available for you, and you'll need to check nabwmt.org, which has a listing of that. We hope to see you online. In addition, we have many Facebooks that you can look us up under NABWMT or the National Association of Black and White Men Together. This is Ken Barron signing off, and hope to hear from you soon, and hope you can hear from me in my next series of podcasts. Thank you. Thank you.